stream of time, we have not long to stay. And the stormy clouds of darkness will turn to brightest day. Then let us all take courage, for we're not left alone. And the lifeboat soon is coming to gather the jewels home. My brother, cheer, our trials will soon be o'er, and our loved ones we shall meet upon the golden shore. And we're pilgrims and we're strangers here, we're seeking a city to come. And the lifeboat soon is coming to gather the jewels home. And sometimes the devil tempts me and says it's all in vain to try to live a Christian life and walk in Jesus' name. But then we hear the Master say, I'll lend you a helping hand. And if you'll only trust me, I'll guide you to that land. Oh, then cheer, my brother, cheer, for our trials soon be o'er, and our loved ones we shall meet upon the golden shore. Oh yes, we're pilgrims and we're strangers here, we're seeking a city to come, and the lifeboat soon is coming to gather the jewels home. And the lifeboat soon is coming, by the eye of faith I see. As she sweeps through the waters to rescue you and me, and land us safely in the port with friends we love so dear. Oh, get ready, cries the captain. Oh, Lord, she's almost here.
Well, it's good to be in church this morning. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. I've heard good reports this week of camp meeting. Sorry we was not able to be here any this week. I hate being that type of preacher that just shows up when he's asked to preach, and I've done that twice to you now, but I am sorry. Yeah, that's right. But I thank you so much for the opportunity to come back. I really did enjoy Shake the City, not just because I was here. I've been trying to get here for years. Ever since it started, I've had it on the calendar and just couldn't work it out this year. And there again, I was asked to preach, and I showed up. But I've heard good reports about this, Brother Chambers, and then you got Brother Gans, and then Brother Betty, and all you others. I'm just the least among you today. I don't know if I slept any. I told Brother Dylan right before church, I'm nervouser than a skint cat in a Chinese factory. Some of y'all get that about midnight. Hallelujah. But I trust the Lord that is going to help us today. Amen. We are nothing without the anointing of God. It is the anointing that destroys the yoke. Some people say it breaks the yoke. You can put stuff back together if it's broke. But when it's destroyed, it's hard to put stuff back together. Hallelujah. And I need the anointing that destroys every yoke today. Amen. To talk to through us, to talk to you. Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles, today. I'm going to turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter number 23 and verse number 26. Very familiar passage of Scripture. We understand Proverbs, and I'm not here to get in a theological debate or a writer debate of who wrote the books of the Bible, but most of us would probably agree together that Solomon would be the writer of Proverbs, most of it anyway, if some of you others want to say that the king there wrote some of the chapters. But we're going to say Solomon would write something like this. And you might ask, what is a proverb? Proverb is just a wise, I don't know the correct word that I would put there, a statement, a man that has endured lots of life troubles, I guess you would say, and writing it down in chapters to wise counsel. Let me just put it that way, if I can. Wise counsel. We understand that Solomon is, besides Christ, was the only man that is ever recorded to be the wisest man, a man that has endured hardship. But Proverbs 23 and 26, it says, "My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways." This is the only passage of Scripture that we will read today while you're standing. I will go elsewhere here in a moment. So can we read this? Can we read it together? I want you to understand, not just reading it as words on paper, but can we read it together? And I want you to listen at what Solomon is writing to his son. It says, "My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways." You can be seated today. I'm going to read that again. And I know the topic that I have to share with you today, that the burden that I have on my life. I told my wife, if I've told her once, I know I've told her 50 times. Why would I preach something on Sunday morning like I'm fixing to preach after they've been in camp meeting all week? I should be the dessert. I know the men that you've had here gave you enough meat to last you till the rapture takes place. I should come in here giving you chocolate pudding or something like that. That's what I feel like anyway. But I have a topic today. The topic that I may preach to you today with the anointing and fear of God. I want to ask you and remind us of the importance of the heart. And Solomon asked, or commands rather, "My son, give me thine heart." My son, give me thine heart. Proverbs chapter number 4 and verse number 23. He writes there again, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of the heart are the issues of life." Keep thine heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. As I've done a little study, I guess you would say, pay attention in schooling, and those years are over, and I wish I would have studied a lot more. Don't we all wish we would have took the 12 years of school and applied them the way we should have, the 12 grades rather. But as I began to study of the heart is located under the rib cage in the center of the chest between the right and the left lung. And its purpose is to beat or contract blood throughout the rest of the body. Some might ask, what is the size of your heart? We've been told through our health classes that you could ball up your fist on your right hand and it would compare to the size of your heart. Some of the main bloody vessels are directly connected to the heart. Before it is pumped throughout the rest of the body, it goes through the lungs to receive oxygen and then back to the heart. So the sequence that you and I were created, the way God created our heart, is to go through the heart, through the right lung, through the left lung, back through the heart, and then it would pump to go where it needs to go. To all the other organs, without the heart, it is very impossible to live. I've been beside my grandparents' bedside and others there in the church that was receiving their last breaths, and 911, the emergency would be called, and whether the EMS or EMT, whatever you call them here, the fire department, whenever they got there, Brother Joe, they would come in and they would check one thing, and that would be the pulse, whether it be down low next to your foot, your ankle, or your wrist. Most of the time it was your wrist, or sometimes they would check behind the ear there, and they would see if the blood, how low is that blood pumping? How long do you have to live before that heart is completely stopped? Without the heart in our physical body, it is impossible to do anything. You have seen, you and I have witnessed people, I'm sure, that would have their limbs amputated, whether it be their arm, their leg, because the blood was not flowing currently like it should be flowing and like they were created for it to flow. So therefore, they had to do an amputation to stop, to let it heal, for the body to not to set up septic. Our heart pumps approximately 100,000 times a day, pumps anywhere from 5 to 6 quarts each minute through 60,000 miles of vessels through your and my body, through for a natural human being, a full-grown person, an adult. And if these things are wrong, these statistics are wrong, you go Google them. If Google lied to me, it'll lie to you, so I have nothing to worry about. It pumps somewhere between 1,500, counting on the body that the heart is in, to 2,000 gallons of blood a day. How God created my in your body to live off of one muscle that is so powerful that our eyes cannot even do what they are supposed to do without the heart being in the center of our chest. You might ask, why would it be in the center of the chest without the rib cage that you and I have? It is a natural protector for that heart to sit in between the two lungs. It is two fatted muscles that it would protect the most vital and important organ for mind in your body to be able to live. I don't want to get up so caught up on the physical this morning of how our body would act without the heart or with the heart, but my mind and my thought, my heart today, my prayer through the night would be as Solomon would write in the book of Proverbs, my son, give me thine heart. Hallelujah. I know it says, and let thine eyes observe my ways. But I want to tell you that the Bible says, hallelujah, whatever is in the heart, through that the mouth speaketh. If we're not careful, we will get caught up in being a church member on the Sunday school roll. We pay our tithes. We've been to camp meeting 9 services in 1 week, Sunday 11. What in the world would the preacher come in on Sunday morning and talk about an heart issue? I don't know, but I've learned to not question what I feel like the Lord wants me to talk to His people about this morning, and my thought process, and with the help of God, I want to help us and to warn us, if a heart is not in love and not in tune with God, there is a problem. I don't care if we've been to camp meeting all week and we showed up on Sunday morning, let our heart belong to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Solomon is writing. He says, give me thine heart. Why in the world would he say, give me thine heart? There must be an issue there of everything that he is writing about. And I don't have time to preach the whole chapter there, but I've read it from cover to cover, the verses of this chapter of Proverbs 23. When he would write, Brother Joe, but he's pleading to the boy, to his son that he was writing to. And the reason why that is because there must be something that is going on in Solomon's kingdom, to where he feels like there is not a wholeheartedness serving pleasing to him. And he is pleading with his son, give me thine heart. In chapter 4, he says, I know that if your heart is not right, issues in life steam through this. I come to tell
some individual today, God don't care about anything in life. All he wants is to know that your heart is in love with him. Hallelujah. How much do you love him? Do you love him as much on Monday without camp meeting as you did on Friday night with the shout in the glory? I come to ask somebody, where is your heart at today? Hallelujah. Keep thine heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Keep thine heart. And he was right on cue when I walked in, and we were sort of teaching along the lines this morning in Sunday school. I thought, thank you, Lord, for confirmation. Our heart is not only the most important organ for you and I to live physically, but our heart is the most important part that God requires so you and I can live spiritually. Heart. I'm sure through the course of life there's been heartbreak, heart shattered, hallelujah, loss of loved ones, maybe a relationship that failed. Come on, somebody, talk to me. A heart, it affected the heart. There was nothing that hurts worse than the heart when it is shattered, when it is broken, because it affects everything about us. I don't care if it's a phone call. Come on, somebody. I don't care if it's a family issue. If it hurts the heart, it affects throughout the body. And if the heart is not right, that's what he writes. Keep that heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. I don't care. I know some people that's got a routine, a physical workout that they do every morning. I got a buddy, preacher friend of mine who lives down in Georgia. He is dedicated, works full time, but he's up every single morning at 3:30 and at the gym at 4 a.m. to work out for an hour before he goes to work. I tell him, I don't do that. I work for a living. Hallelujah. But I have seen when heartbreak would get to him. Just recently, he's got a daughter now, but his wife had a miscarriage about a year and a half to 2 years ago. And during that time, he was so heartbroken. The house was so heartbroken because of the loss that they had. Brother Joe, that it affected everything that went on in the house. Why? Because everything in life is connected to the thing that pumps blood through mine and your body today. I don't know who that I'm talking to. I can't say that as I sit on this platform that God would show me your face and say, that's who it is. But I feel the Holy Ghost is going to pick the pieces back up together that feel like that they are shattered. You may walk in Paul Creek Ministries with a smile on your face, whether you got a suit and a tie on, whether you got a skirt and a blouse, whether it's a dress from Danny Jewels. I don't know, and I really don't care, but I come to tell you, if you give your heart 100% back to God, everything is going to be alright. Hallelujah. I don't care how many prayer meetings you attend, but if your heart is not truly devoted to God, there is going to be an issue that's going to hiccup you in your relationship with God. But God, I come to proclaim and declare on Sunday morning, hallelujah, July the 1st, 2018, my heart has been shattered, and there's issues that I am dealing with, but today, God, I give you my heart. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Give me my heart. Hallelujah. Give me thine heart. Isn't it amazing that he doesn't ask for anything in life? Hallelujah. But your heart? That's all I ask. John chapter 3, if you don't like the Old Testament, him and Nicodemus are having a talk. He tells him, you've got to be born again. He said, how can I enter my mother's womb and be born? No, that's not what I'm talking about. You've got to accept Christ as your Lord and Savior. Be washed in the blood. Your heart. That's all he's worried about. I feel the Holy Ghost going to help somebody today. My wife's parents on a sod farm turf We grow grass for a living, and it's legal, I promise, it's sod. We do ball fields, all kinds of sorts of stuff. And sometimes Leslie is the office manager, my brother-in-law, her older brother is the farm manager. There is a team of us that work. There's five of us that complete this team. Six of us now that the summer has gotten here. And thank God we've got a week off this week. We're shouting glory, hallelujah. But there's six of us that complete this team, Brother Chambers. There's two truck drivers and there's four of us that work on the harvesting crew. If you'll let me just share this analogy with you, then I'll go on and finish my sermon. But I feel that this is neat too, and this is what I do, so this is how I'm going to compare this. There is a piece of equipment that we drive. We call it a sod slab harvester, a pallet, if you rather call it that, or a skid, if you know what I'm talking about. And what that is, we got a driver that sits on the front of that thing. How many of you have ever seen a sod harvesting equipment? Anybody? I got one or two of you. Well, I'll try to paint you a picture in your mind. Piece of equipment that the driver sits right here. And what you got is you've got a blade and a conveyor belt as you're driving this piece of equipment that goes up underneath the sod, runs it over up the conveyor belt. And on that piece of equipment, you've got two people who are stacking in the back. The conveyor belt runs between you. I'm a back stacker. I'd rather stack in the back. And I got a front stacker. I don't like going backwards. Let me go forward is the way I say it. And what it is, there's a piece at the time you need two individuals that are stacking this pallet that are working together, if I will, today. Three people that are on this piece of equipment and the fourth would complete it. He is the mover. The mover's job is to come get the skid that we just dropped so that we can move on rather than backing it off so it would not be in our way on the way back. You might say, why are you talking about this? Because there are times that we show up to work, and right now we're trying to get there early, 5:30, 6 o'clock, so we can beat the heat. Because I know you're hot up here, and we down south a little bit. It is scorching hot down there, and we're sod farmers. Ain't no such thing as shade trees. We don't believe in trees. Hallelujah. If we got a place to put grass, that's where we're going to grow grass. But we would get there a little early, and there's sometimes, Brother Joe, we can tell. And sometimes I have been the victim or I have been the person that would walk in and I would show up to work, but my heart was elsewhere. And it makes for a miserable day when you're working with folk that their heart is not there. Are you listening to me? It makes for a miserable day if I show up to work and my heart is still laying under the covers because it's too early to get up. But that is my duty. That is what I'm required to do. And if the mover's heart is not there and he's frustrated and is not careful of what he's doing when he's moving those pallets of grass and he misses a pallet or he drives incorrectly. I've seen it happen 4 or 5 times. My wife doesn't know that anything like this goes down in the field because she don't come down there. She stays in the office, so plug your ears. And he misses the pallet out of frustration because he's not really wanting to be there and he shovels the grass off. Then there has to be a time where we have to recut an extra skid of grass because somebody was not careful because their heart was not fixed. I've worked with guys, still do, where they show up and they got frustrated of what happened throughout the weekend, or they didn't want to be there to work in 90 plus degree. And I've been that person. And it's better if you keep the right attitude. It's wrong. And it makes the day for a long day. But that, Dylan, if you don't have the right attitude when everybody's heart is in the same rhythm, then you know that you're going to please the landscaper. You're going to please the office. You're going to please all this because everybody is functioning together because everybody understands I woke up to do one purpose, and that was to get to this sod farm, and that was to cut grass. I don't care if it's 100 degrees. Come on, somebody. Can I tell you, we can put that aside. If our relationship with God is not 100% dedicated to the will of the Father, then we're going to have a miserable life and a miserable relationship with Him. I've seen them people that would drag in on Sunday morning. Oh God, it's Sunday morning, I got to go to church. Can I tell you why you got that problem? Because there's an issue in life. It has affected the relationship. And all Solomon is saying is, give me the heart. If you give Him the heart, everything else is going to be all right. If you trust God today with your heart.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Just give me the heart. Just the heart. Preacher, why would you come in here on Sunday morning after the camp meeting and talk about something we should be saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled? Maybe so. But through prayer this week, even last night, even early this morning, my prayer, God, I don't know why I would go to Paul Creek Ministries and preach anything like this. But maybe there'd be somebody here this morning, hallelujah, to where you've had an heartbreak. Your heart has stopped beating the way it needs to beat spiritually for God. Your love for God has drifted away. Maybe it's like that Laodicea church that Revelation talks about. It's not cold, it's not hot, but it's a lukewarm relationship. There's something wrong inside there, and we got to get it fixed. In our holiness churches, we like to preach about the adulteress. We like to preach about those that are sinning and that are doing wrong. But what's affected our heart this morning? Could it be that word called jealousy, if we're not careful, that will settle in our heart? And we can shout, speak in tongues, worship. We know how to sing. We know how to do everything right in the church. But Brother Joe, when we see that individual that along, that hurt us some time ago, it pulls a string in our heart and it brings back memories. It's a word that we don't like to talk about in the church. But that word that's called bitterness, that sometimes takes deep root in our heart. And if we're not careful, we'll sit on the church pew and we'll amen the preacher as he's preaching right. But when he gets to that thing that has got a string attached to our heart, can I tell you, sir, can I tell you, ma'am, I don't know who you are, what your name is, but all God is required of you today is just give Him your heart. He'll take the envy, He'll take the strife, He'll take the jealousy, He'll take the bitterness, He'll take the hard feelings. Hallelujah, just give Him the heart. That's what the king's plea was in Proverbs, is I don't care how big your house is, I don't care how fancy you've got a suit of clothes on, but all I long for is the same heartbeat that the kingdom of God is. I come on Sunday morning and I plead with you, just let Him fix the heart problem. Not anybody can fix a heart problem. Not any hospital, if you have a heart attack or need heart surgery, can fix the heart problem. My grandfather had a heart attack, quadruple bypass. He was going to have a half. We got Tanner Medical Center in Carroll County, where I live. But they understood this problem in this heart is so big. He's got to go to the big city, Atlanta, to Emory. Anybody's ever heard of Emory? To Emory. Because they know what they're doing. They do this for a living. Can I tell you, I don't care. I don't know why I feel like I'm about to say this, but I'm going to say it anyhow. Hallelujah. Anyway, it ain't another boy. It ain't another girl. It ain't another relationship. It ain't another job. It ain't another drug. I know I shouldn't be talking like this on Sunday morning, but I'm going to say it anyhow. It ain't another drink of the bottle. It ain't another television show. It ain't another outing with friends. It ain't another companion. It ain't nothing. It is one thing, and that is you got to give the heart to the king. Another girl, another boy, another drug, another ship. None of these things can fix what you're feeling on the inside. There will always be a void. But when you decide that you're going to give your heart to the King. Preacher, I've been saved for 5, 10, 15, 20 years. There's nothing wrong with me. I'm not saying that you're lost. I'm not even saying you're backslid. But what I am saying is 100%. Does your heart beat in the rhythm that God is requiring it to beat in? Where's your heart? Keep that heart with all diligence. For out of it are the issues of life. There's a man that we like to talk about so many times who took a bear and a lion and slayed them with his hands. Who walked down to the valley, picked up 5 smooth stones and killed a giant. But that same man had a heart issue that he needed to get out of the blood. It started with just the look. Never committing an act. Just the look. Because he's the king. Because he's the man. Not getting up one morning and thinking this is what I'm going to do, but because the heart did not belong to God 100%. Before he even realized it, he had committed adultery. He had committed murder. He had had a baby by a woman that wasn't even his own wife. Because his heart wasn't right. The same man that I'm talking about is the same man that the Bible says his heart was after God's own heart. I'm not saying you're lost. I'm not saying you're backslid. But if we're not careful, we will allow little things. And before long, those little things will devour our whole life. David, what are you thinking? You're the king. Now you're a murderer. Now you're an adulterer. Now you've committed sin. Now you've committed fornication. Now you've done all this. I'm going to tell you what David said in Psalms 51 in verse 1. David said, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness and according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the inward parts thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, David pray, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sin, and blot out mine iniquities. And this is what I like, that David prayed, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence. Hallelujah. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation. I want to tell you, he can give you a pure heart. He can give you a new heart if you'll just give him your heart today. Hallelujah. Create in me a clean heart. Hallelujah. Create in me a clean heart. David understands, if my heart don't get fixed, the problem will never stop. Because if my heart was fixed from the beginning, the problem would have never come. Come on, somebody. I don't care if you're the king. I don't care if you're the janitor. If your heart doesn't belong to God, there's issues there that will overtake you sooner or later. Amen. Somebody's coming to the piano and I'm coming to a close. My plea to you today is give God your heart. He don't care how much money you throw in the offering plate. He don't care if your name's on that bulletin 52 Sundays out of the year. All he desires is your heart. I don't know who I'm talking to today, but I wonder if there's somebody under the sound of my voice that you can't say 100% your heart belongs to God. Maybe 95%, but there's part of it that you can't give to Him because you don't want to let it go. Sir, ma'am, if He can't have it all, He don't have it at all. I'm going to say it again. If He don't have it all, He don't want it at all. He wants to know today. Peter, do you love me? You know I love you, Lord. Feed my sheep. Peter, the second time, do you love me? You know I love you, Lord. Feed my lambs. The third time, Peter, do you love me? Lord, why you ask that? Peter, He wants to know He's got your whole heart. Because a week ago you denied Him thrice. You said you never knew Him. You never walked with Him. You never been to church. And every heartbeat that you said you didn't know Him, I want every heartbeat of it back to say that you love me. For the Holy Ghost today. Today's your day to get your heart fixed. True story. There's a pastor who lived off of adrenaline. Most of you have probably heard this. If you've done any reading of it in all. He loved jumping out of airplanes, different things. Pastored a large church. Out west, Midwest. He had a heart surgeon in his church as one of his members. He finally taught the heart surgeon into letting him experience sitting through a heart surgery, Brother Joe. Wouldn't be me. I can't even do blood or shots. I'll be passed out. But he sits there through that heart surgery, finally letting the doctor, of course, they had to get the family's permission for it to be all right, for him to sit there and watch as this surgeon performs surgery on this heart. The hours went by as the surgeon was performing surgery, and finally it come to the time where the surgeon would, you know how, if you know anything about any of this, how he would massage that heart, that muscle, after he's worked on it, before he puts it back in the chest cavity for that individual to live. Because most of you know you're on a machine if you're in surgery. It's beating your heart for you and living for you and breathing for you, whatever else. The pastor said as he stood there in the corner, Brother Gans, that he began to notice that the surgeon is massaging, and it went from a comfortable to massage to like a panic massage now. And the pastor's thinking in the back of his mind, I'm about to watch this surgeon lose his patient right here on the heart table. As the surgeon's talking to the nurses, rumbling around the room, trying to do everything they can do, they still massaging it. And one of the nurses began to ask, should we go tell the family? And the doctor stops everything, takes his surgeon mask off, leans down to the woman's ear, and the woman's name was Miss Johnson. He says, "Miss Johnson, this is your heart surgeon." He says, "I've done the repairs. Everything looks good. I've massaged your heart. Now you're going to have to be the one to tell your heart to beat again." The pastor said, as soon as he told Miss Johnson that the heart began to pump blood. There's a song that they wrote about it. It's called "Tell Your Heart to Beat Again," if you want to go Google it. Beautiful words. True story. But that day in that room, the surgeon done all he could do. The family's out in the waiting room waiting for recovery. But it was up to Miss Johnson. "Do you want to live again?" I want to tell somebody on Sunday morning, you got to make up the option in your mind. The prayers have been prayed. The words have been brought forth. But somebody needs to tell your heart, you got to beat again. Somebody needs to tell your heart, you need to hope again. Somebody needs to tell your heart, you need to live again. Everything's going to be all right. Just give your heart. That's all he wants. Will you stand with me this morning all over this house? Every head's bowed, every eye's closed. Holy Ghost, you finished the work that you started. I wonder if there's one person here today. The heart doctor's here. He's pulled the mask off. He's let you know, "I've gone to Calvary. I've done everything that needs to be done on my end. Will you just give me your heart?" I'm not saying you're lost. If you are lost, you can give him your heart today also. He'll wash you and make you whiter than snow, that prayer that David prayed. But I wonder if there's one here today that would make your way to the front, to this altar, and say, "It's me, preacher. Come on. It's me, preacher. I can't go down there. I'm afraid of what somebody..." Who cares? Please come today. Give him your heart. Give it to him today. Hallelujah. Give it to him today. There's one coming. Can I have some sisters come help me today? Hallelujah. That's all right, ma'am. Give it to God today. Hallelujah. Oh, God. Hallelujah. Wash me today, oh, Lord. Is there others today? I'm going to give you my heart today, oh, Lord. Hallelujah. Come on, come on, come on. Is there others? Is there others today? Lord, I'm going to give it to you. Everything, every hurt feeling, every distress, everything that I've ever gone through in life. I don't care if you're 70 and something happened to you when you was in the teens, but God, I get it under the blood today. All the issues of life I give to you, Lord. Make the heart right. Tell your heart to beat again. Hallelujah.
I am thine, O Lord. I have heard thy voice, and it told thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee. Oh, draw me near.
If your heart is not right,